In a world of bus schedules and business calls, sidestep into a realm of Koigyu, casting, and kunans. Okay, people, get your geek on.
Hi everyone, it's September 20th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 105 of Knit One Geek 2. I'm Karen.
And I'm Maggie.
And we're coming from...
Broke Bank City.
Yeah.
Because we're broke.
Because we had two conventions.
Back to back.
Like, back to back weekends.
And it seems like everything just hit the credit cards.
Yeah, now. I had a moment when I looked at my credit card, I think even before the Knitter's Fair, and like... I mean, if I look at the total amount of how much money I have left to my limit, I can tell exactly how much is on the credit card. But it takes, like, 3-4 days for, like, actual items to appear and the actual total to be displayed. And I had a little moment where I looked at it and I was like, ooh, that was more than I thought was on there. Okay. Yeah, it would have been Thursday, payday.
Ouchie.
Thankfully Thursday was payday.
It's like, okay,
I'm going to put... so much of my paycheck on my credit card.
Yeah, I know. Because we got another convention in the works.
Yeah.
And this is a pilgrimage of sorts for those of us who live far away.
Yes.
More on that later.
More on that later.
Hi, everybody.
So excited. Okay. But yes, we should probably mention at least one of those, or talk in detail about one of those conventions before I...
Let's talk about the Knitter's Fair, because I've listed Fan Expo under the...
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to go into.
Okay, you do that.
Obviously, we've been doing this for a while. And yay! High five. Boom. We are reading each other's minds right now.
That's kind of scary, considering you and Coulson. I really don't want to be that third
dude,
wheel.
You and Tom Hiddleston, like...
I had to let
go! I've been sharing that brain for quite a while.
I had to let go.
Speaking of Coulson, dude. My pictures. We can get into
later,
that.
Later.
Whew! Okay, now that I've been distracted by that, let's go... Yes, Kitchen World and Knit is Fair.
Maybe Coulson is my next option.
Bitch.
All right, I retract my statement.
Back off!
Knitter's Fair.
Get your own man sandwich.
Looking! Man yes.
Anyway, yes,
Knitter's Fair. Hold you put in this tea. All right, Knitter's Fair.
Yes, Knitter's Fair. Yeah, we got there bright and early that morning.
It fucking early in the morning.
We left at 7:30. We met!
At 7:30.
At Starbucks at 7:30.
Yep. I know it was early in the morning. I had to drive.
There are very few times of year I will gladly get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Knitter's Fair is one of them.
Yeah. Met at the Starbucks so that people who needed it could get their coffee.
Yeah. And we had like, I'm saying perfect weather. I don't care that it was rainy. It was kind of nice that it was rainy. It was that nice warm fall day where you were just, you know, curling up with yarn is the perfect thing.
It's nice for a passenger when it's rainy.
Yeah, true. Yes. Not so much for the driver.
Not so much for the driver.
But, I mean, at least it was cool, so it sweater weather.
Yes, it wasn't sweltery hot.
Which was nice, because the weekend before, it had been hot as balls.
Yes, that is... Why that true? My God.
We're talking, like, in the temperature that it felt like, it was literally a 25 degree Celsius difference.
And for those of you who do the Fahrenheit, it's just hot
it
as
was
balls.
Like, you know, 40 degree difference or something.
Hot as balls.
Like, from one week to the next. So, it was nice. I got to wear the cool hat. I had a couple people be like, awesome hat!
Yep.
Including one person who recognized me from Fan Expo, which I'll mention later. Who was like, were you Fan Expo last weekend? I'm like, yes!
You have a following.
Awesome! And just adding this little bit, recorded a little later, as you can probably hear, because technical difficulties with the original audio, but this is important, so I wanted to re-record it to make sure it got in. Also at the Knitter's Fair, we got to meet a bunch of listeners, as usual, which is awesome. We love doing that. We got to meet up with, and I got to hang out with Alana, who I've been talking with a lot on Ravelry, and who did the little Tin Can Knits mini knit-along with me for the estuary scarf. And it was awesome getting to walk around with her and just look at yarn and stuff and do the sort of hanging out that we don't get to do because she's not in the same town as us. And I also got to meet a couple other listeners, including one who treated me with Agent Nitwit because she recognized the hat. And unfortunately, I cannot remember your name. Oh my god. Crap. I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names. But yes, we got to meet listeners and get to talk. It's always fun talking to listeners. Though I apologize if I was really out of it that day. I had very little sleep as usual. And I make the same apology in advance for Rhinebeck. But yes, I at least wanted to mention those two specifically and in general just some of the other listeners we bumped into. I know Maggie met up with a couple people that I don't think I got to see. It's sort of a blur now. But even, trust me, even if I forget your name 30 seconds after you say it, because I will, because that's the way my brain works, we love meeting listeners and we love talking to people who are listeners, because it's one of those rare moments where, like, we actually get to talk to people who listen to the podcast, you know, or like the not online, in person, we actually get to have actual conversations. So it's always great to meet listeners. So thank you guys for, like, introducing yourselves and, like, actually saying hi. And hopefully there will be more of that at Rhinebeck. Stay tuned for more details.
And it was really good, and it was just the right amount of people, too. It wasn't overly crowded.
Well, they said they got, like, about 2,000 people. Or, like, slightly less than 2,000 people.
Mm.
But, I mean, it was in both auditoriums again this year, so things were nicely spaced out. You know, there were still a few booths that were pretty crowded. But, like, there was a lot of room in the aisles, though, so you could sort of stand in the middle. You could move down the middle of the aisle without having to shove past people that were at the booths. And there was lots of nice stuff there.
Lots of nice stuff. Yes. Very much
so
nice stuff.
So much nice stuff.
Yes. And by the way, want to send props out to Chris for her new purchase.
Yes.
Chris takes the cake for the I guess, biggest impulse purchase of the day.
Yes. Yes. Agent Wilson from our Sheep to Shawl team, Chris, bought a new spinning wheel.
She didn't go cold. She had been thinking about it, and she tried it out, and the next thing you know, she's standing in line, and she's wringing her hands over.
Oh, God, what am I doing?
We're like, calm down, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, repeat, breathe in, breathe out. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Calm down. She's like, okay, you've got one, and you're happy, and Michelle has one, and she's happy, and Katie has one, and she's happy. I'm like, yes, it's a good wheel, it's a good wheel. Calm down.
Breathe, Chris. But yeah, so she took home a new wheel.
Yeah.
And she was saying at Knit-Night that she had only spent a little bit of time on it because she has a young child as well, but that she had enjoyed what she was doing.
Good.
So far. So. Good.
Yay! Yay! Congratulations!
Congratulations on your new baby, Chris. The wooden creates yarn kind of baby.
Yeah.
Did you get anything? Oh yes, there you did get something that's related to something you have acquired recently.
Oh God. Are you referring to the... Are you referring to the extra large baby, or are you referring to all the little things that I brought home from the fair?
The extra large one.
You're referring to the extra large baby.
Yes.
Yes. So, my loom is now at the house.
Yay!
There was a lot of having to go back and forth with the person who was holding it, because it's way out in the middle of basically agricultural country.
Yeah.
In a barn. And I don't have a truck, I don't have a van, and we had to coordinate things, and...
Yeah.
Thanks to Carrie from Knit Night for volunteering her van, and it turns out the van was too small.
Oh, God.
They did get it to the house, and the guys disassembled it sort of halfway so that parts of it could go up. And I'm just a total frantic tizzy, because I'm just stalking backwards and forwards across the living room going, it's not going to fit, it's not going to fit, it's not going to fit. Because we have an old house, like from, you know, an old wartime house that's just been added on to a little bit.
Yeah.
So the doorways are not huge, it's not open concept, things like that. So
you have a twisty staircase.
I have a twisty staircase.
Narrow, twisted staircase.
Imagine trying to take a full-size floor loom up a twisty staircase. The answer is, you don't.
Yes. Not in one piece, at least.
Yeah, and I'm just pacing the floor, and my husband is looking at me going, do I need to put you in a hamster ball or something? Because, really? So Friday night, we actually completely disassembled the loom, cleaned every bit of it, repolished every bit of it, and reassembled it upstairs. And of course, when you do it like that, it's a lot easier to move. It's all there, and I can post pictures, and don't know how interested anybody would be in them, but I've just shown...
I'm sure there's people that'll be interested in seeing.
Shown Miss Karen, but the loom is assembled upstairs. We can't get the harnesses to hang quite right, but we'll figure that out. I repeat, I have no idea how to use the bugger yet.
I am doing, like, the readings and the videos and the tutorials and stuff like that, but I honestly believe that the hands-on experience is going to be the breaker for this. There's no amount of tutorial that can teach you...
Yeah, how to do it
this. How to do it this way. And I have completely rearranged my craft room so that I have my spinning wheel, my quilting table, and the loom all within easy reach, and nothing is crowding the other.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to think of a name for her, because I really want her to last. I mean, from...
Do you know what make it is?
Leclerc is the company.
And model, do you know?
I don't know the model, I just know it's a counterbalance.
Okay.
But I could probably find out about the model, because the original instructions were still in the bench.
Oh my god.
And somebody's original calculations for warp and...
Weft. Oh, wow, cool.
Like, calculations were still on... And this is back when people had gorgeous handwriting, even for doing notes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore. Like, really beautiful handwriting just for numbers. So, she's from Quebec, because Leclerc is based in Quebec, and she's a Canadian maple.
Mm-hmm.
And polished up, she looks like a redhead, so I'm kind of happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm trying to think of a French name, sounding name, that doesn't equate to anything flowery or sort of like ultra feminine, because
mm-hmm.
this is a big ass piece of equipment. There were a couple of names that meant, you know, like tiny woman. I'm like, no, honey, no. You're not tiny.
This is a
issues.
Is a hard working farm girl with some serious guns.
So I'm trying to find. There were a couple that meant industrious, and I was playing around with those.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we'll see. But that was my big baby.
Yeah. So at the Knitter's Fair, I got
a read for her.
A read for it.
Yeah, because that was the thing missing. At the moment, the only thing I am missing, other than figuring out how the freaking harnesses hang properly, is a warping board. But I repeat, I have no idea how to use any of this yet. So I could be surrounded with all the stuff, and you'll still find me just looking at it until somebody takes my hand and helps me along. But yes, I did pick up a read for her, and at the KW Knitters Fair. And other than that, I bought a few things for my Knit One Geek Two spoily.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I bought fluff, lots and lots of fluff,
spinning fluff,
as opposed to, you know, cloud fluff and kitten fluff and things like that.
Yeah.
But one of the things I'm most pleased about is this. Yarn. This is from the company Stitch Please.
Yes. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, guys. They are based in Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
And I originally was a little taken aback by how bright this purple is.
Yeah, it's called Ultra Purple for a reason.
But
when it's knit up, it looks really pretty.
But when it's knit up, it is really beautiful.
And those stitches are really popping in this yarn.
Ooh, it feels really nice. I'm really happy with how this is turning out.
Yeah. What pattern is that?
I'm not telling. It's for a swap.
Oh, it's a swap.
It's a swap. But all I'm saying is that, you know, this yarn that I'm knitting it out of, I'm very happy with. This was their sapphire label.
Mm-hmm.
Of their fingering weight.
It's superwash merino wool and nylon, so.
But I'm really happy with how that's knit up.
Yeah, and actually you can find them at stitchesbeslippin.com.
I really liked, everybody at that booth was wearing a different t-shirt.
Yeah.
And one of the ones I liked is what the guy was wearing. I work so she can knit.
Yeah.
My husband.
Yeah, Michelle's husband was wearing that.
Need one of those. Yeah. I got... other than other bits and pieces of swappy stuff that I refuse to talk about right now, I also got from me, I stopped at the Wellington fiber booth, and of course they had the Happy Boxes of Love.
Yeah.
I kind of really like the boxes that look like they came from Treebeard. That's the best way I can explain it.
Yes.
It's like they are a neutral, but they've got shots of something vivid running through them.
Mm-hmm.
That could either be described as lichen or moss or something green or blue and vibrant. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
So that's what I got. I got a box of that. And then to match it, just to make it go farther, I was at Gemini and I got some roving that complemented it.
Mm-hmm.
So just to make the whole thing sort of like go farther.
Yeah.
And I really, because they have really natural and
really nice fibers out of Wellington. And Gemini has just solid flat colors, but mm-hmm. they're really good, good price.
Mm-hmm.
Really reasonably priced. And since I'm on the topic anyway, I can't say what this is, and I can't talk about the pattern just yet, but I can show Karen the finished product.
Yes, and that is pretty. Very pretty.
So I can, you know, you can have verification that thingy thing one
is finished.
Is finished.
And thingy thing two is in progress.
Thingy thing two is in progress.
So that was you?
That was me. There's not too much I can talk about because they're all super secret.
Yeah, I know. There's a couple things I can't talk about because it's swappy stuff. Oh, and you also got your mother's shawl finished? Mm.
I did. And it was at knit night where I think I told everybody, okay, people, if I don't talk very much tonight, I am 15 rows from the end. Deal. And I'm sort of over in the corner. I think conversation is just going, and I'm just over in a corner. And finally, at the end, I'm like, whee!
Yes, you literally did throw it up in the air.
Yes, literally did. The thing is immense, and I did post pictures on my Ravelry page. It is huge. I think it was something like 7 to 8 feet long. It was a blanket. Blocked it.
And that'll be nice and warm for those, you know, those cold, cold winters they get in the Bahamas.
It's fingering weight lace, okay? And it gets cold next to the ocean at night. Although what my mother would be doing next to the ocean at
cold.
Night, I don't know. Cold.
In
bunny quotes. Yeah. So I did get it to my brother in time because my brother lives in Ottawa and he was going down. And oh my god, people, if you have been trying to set up a surprise for your mother for several months, do not spill the beans at the last minute in an email. Which is what I did.
You managed to save it, though. And then the rest of your family boarded the failboat.
Yes, I only let slip that my brother was coming down and to let me know when he arrived safely. And my father messaged me back saying, hey, you said that to your mother and to me, and this is the one time I forgot that this was my father, and I just sent back an email with giant letters that said, F-U-C-K. Hang on, let me fix this. And I came up with a story. I told my father the story, I told Mikey the story, and I said, that's the story if she calls and asks about it. And they all agreed on it. I went to lunch, I came back, got an email from Mom, looks like she bought the story. And I'm like, whew, okay, let's just shut up now. Let's just duct tape ourselves to a boulder and jump off a cliff so we don't screw that up again. Then it goes on and then the other family members sort of like let slip things and didn't bother to fix them afterwards. So I'm like, you know what? I covered my butt. But my brother took the shawl down, gave it to her. She made the mistake in the post about it, saying that it was a crocheted shawl. And I had to correct her on Facebook. Nothing against crocheters, but I'm just Mom.
It's just one of those.
You've known what I do. This is not crochet. You know what this is. Anyway.
Muggles.
I know, muggles. very muggle with what I told you earlier.
Okay. So that's your adventures in knitting?
Yes, it's my adventures. But she's happy with it.
Yep.
At this point.
Okay, so just to wrap up the fair. So at the fair, I got...
Squish.
I got quite a bit of floof. Yeah, it's Rambouillet, and it's from a, farm called the Gaynor Homestead. It's Gaynor Homestead.com. They have fleece from their, roving from their own, or top from their own small flock of Rambouillet sheep. I think I was looking at their website, and I think they said they're the only flock of Rambouillet in Ontario. And they have, all sorts of other neat stuff that they've made from stuff on their farms. Like, they do beekeeping, and they have their own honey.
That's awesome.
For sale. And I got, they had hand cream. I got lip balm made with, beeswax from their own bees. And I also got because I had con cried all last week.
Yeah.
I got some chest rub from them that, again, had their own stuff from their own bees. And, you know, she made soap and stuff. I didn't get any soap, but oh my god, that stuff smelled good. So they have lots of really neat stuff. And the Rambouillet feels so lovely. It's so squishy.
It is.
I cannot wait to spin it. It's in sort of a natural white. They actually had a thing, if you bought two roving, or two, you know, braids of top, because it's braided top, basically, you could get a little packet of dye free. I didn't take them up on that because I kind of like the... I kind of want to leave it the natural color.
Mm-hmm.
I know it is, but when I'm spinning stuff, I'm sort of... I've been really into spinning stuff like that's the natural color, especially when you get like the darker colors and they're usually fairly heathered.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that lovely like rustic, yeah, heathery wonderfulness. So I figured I'm probably going to leave this the natural color, but it's so squishy.
I know.
I just want to curl up in it.
This is what a James Bond villain would pet now. In a fiber.
This would be the knitting, like...
The knitting villain.
Evil villain would be petting. And there's so much of it. Yeah, and each braid is like 100 grams, I think. So I have quite a bit.
We need to do like a knitter tree or something. Christmas tree at Christmas time. And just like decorate it in roving and... I'm sorry, I'm just a little bit bizarre right now.
I also got... a skein of yarn from Indigo Dragonfly.
So I decided that I can control myself. I got a skein of her chameleon sock. I'm going to go to
it's 63% merino yarn, 20% cashmere, 17% silk. And what it is I think it's like three plies, if I remember correctly, in the yarn. And I remember correctly from what she said. One of the plies,
for grown-up knitters, it has,
it's like two plies of like merino cashmere and one ply of like merino silk or something like that. There's basically, there's one of the plies has a different fiber.
I have, of course, been working on,
which means it takes the fiber, it takes the dye differently. So you get these little highlights, these little spots.
A little while ago,
that
Wilda
strand has been plied around it and takes the dye, takes up the dye differently.
It mentioned me in comments to a post on Instagram.
Sort of like a scale.
The post was by someone called the Fat Squirrel,
scales
who does
scales.
Knitting and bags, I got the colorway, and project bags and things
a
like that.
A meme is
and
a terrible thing
look
to
at their
waste.
Stuff at I'm Fat Squirrel Fibers.
Because I think terrible is implied by the sad face emoji.
The post that
and then the
she
last bit I kind of figured out today is, okay,
one
could
where
be
she
waste.
Was, Fat Squirrel was
considering it's like
showing
two parentheses facing out,
having as
facing in opposite direction,
like
so not closed parentheses,
limited edition
like
thing
with a
and
dot
fabric.
In the middle.
We're going to get need to get to the point of puzzle cracking.
Yeah, or emailing.
Ron,
yeah,
library
what the
cards.
Hell is this?
So it's the cards
Does
that
this
have
mean
the circulation
again?
Cards.
But it is
the ones that have like the date and
color.
Then the name. These are
it
all
is
from
like
look like they're
black
all from the school
and really dark teal and really dark purple and
number.
Spots where they
so, yeah,
all sort
it's
of
got
merge.
The date and all the names.
That's sort of like
one another.
That's a peacock in the
shadows. Choose your own adventure, number 45. You are a shark.
And it is
500%
my
Little
thing.
Women, mixed up files of
like
Basil.
This is my jam.
Frank Weiler, yeah. Tom Sawyer.
So like obviously it was coming home with me. I did buy a couple other things for my
Where the Wild Things Are
partner. Actually, I can
something by one of the Brown Bays.
But yes, so there were so many other things I really, really, really wanted.
No,
like
Cranford
really wanted,
oh, yes, Pride and Prejudice,
but I did sort of have the realization midway through the day. It's like, oh yes,
I looked
I'm
at
to
it.
Rhinebeck
and it was like,
in a month.
Month.
Ugh,
yes,
it's
like
really
it wasn't
nice,
like before. Then I was like, oh, I really shouldn't
was,
buy these
like,
things that I really want though, because like
money,
I already have so much stash and stuff. And then I had the realization I'm going to Rhinebeck
like
in a month, and that was sort
I dithered and dithered and dithered, and finally the pre-order closed. And then like 2 weeks ago, I got an email from a Wilda from New Zealand saying, oh, by the way, a package is shipping to you right now. I'm like, okay.
I think Awilda's just our fairy godmother.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that description fits. And then last week she was like, Eve, your thing has arrived at your house, according to tracking. And when I got home, there was a very flat bag on the counter. I opened it up, and there was one of the library card bags. Thank you, Awilda. So I'm keeping my Rhinebeck sweater inside, at least for the moment. It will probably get too big. But
stuff in progress.
Yes, in progress, and at a point where I can actually start trying it on.
Look at that.
Ta-da! So this is my Frankenstein Rhinebeck cardigan.
At the moment, it's a bolero.
Yeah. It's about boob length. And basically, I sort of wanted it to kind of look like the Cypress cardigan from Knit to Flatter, but with different stitch patterns, and the pattern in that one is knit from the bottom up in pieces, and I wanted to do it from the top down in one piece. So, I took the numbers for my size from The Knitter's Handbook of Top-Down Sweater Patterns by Ann Budd. I used the numbers for the scoop neck shaping from the Cypress Cardigan from Knit to Flatter by Amy Herzog. And I took stitch patterns from my German stitch dictionaries and have cobbled them all together.
Like you said, Frankenstein.
Yes, into a sweater. Which has not been without its problems. Like right now, I am partway through a sleeve cap on one sleeve. I was finished this sleeve cap on Friday, and then I tried it on.
Oh dear.
And there were way too many stitches in the sleeve cap. I did pick up more stitches than they asked for, but that was because I was doing their usual pickup rate of, like, you know, you pick up 3 stitches and skip one row. And I got a lot more stitches than they called for. So I was like, okay, I will just knit with this number of stitches and see what happens. And what happened was, there was way too much fabric in the sleeve cap, so the fabric was, like, buckling.
Yeah.
And when I put my arms down at my sides, the fabric was sticking out, like, an inch.
So you,
the side of my arms. So, like,
You look like your shoulder pads.
Yeah, like puff sleeves.
Yeah.
Going for the Anne Shirley puff sleeves look. Not really. So I ripped that out.
Okay.
And this is after, I should mention, like, oh my god, earlier this week, I was like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, start that sleeve on my, you know, on Tuesday, I was like, oh, I can start the sleeve when I'm on my dinner break. And then I realized, well, after I got to work, I forgot my interchangeable set.
Don't.
Which has the cords and
Don't.
The needle tips and everything. Fuck. So Wednesday, I remembered to put my interchangeable needle set in my bag. And I was on my way to work. I'm like, yay, okay, I've got time to work on my sweater on the way to work. I can start the sleeve cap. And, oh, crap, I forgot my notebook that has all the numbers in it. God damn it. So, yet again, it had to stop. But, yes, so the sleeve cap now looks a lot better. It looks like it actually fits. And I'm going to, basically, I've got it down to about an inch. Well, no more like 2 inches below the... where I joined the armhole, below the bottom of the armhole. And I've stopped working on the body for the moment to do the sleeves so that I don't have, like, an entire sweater hanging off my needles.
When you're trying to do
sleeves. And trying to twist that around in my lap when I'm trying to do the sleeves in the round. Especially because I'm doing the sleeves, obviously, from the top down, and they're set in sleeves. So you work short rows at the top of the sleeve to create the sleeve cap. They're the same. I basically did the same thing on my sweater last year, and it turned out really well, which is part of the reason I wanted to do it again this year. But yeah, so I'll do this sleeve, I'll do the other sleeve, and I will continue doing body.
What's the yarn that's made out of?
This is Valley Yarns. It's the Webb's sort of house brand. It's their Northampton, which is very much, it's basically very much like Cascade 220.
Okay.
Similar sort of twist, similar sort of weight. Not as many colors, not anywhere near as many colors as Cascade 220, but then it's really hard to have as many colors as Cascade 220. They still have lots of colors. And this one is the Twilight Heather colorway. So it is like a dark sort of plummy purple heather with like little bits of like reddish or bluish heatheriness in it. And it's really pretty. I was kind of thinking when I was at the Knitter's Fair of getting buttons for this, but I was like, I didn't really want to spend more money that day, and I still wasn't sure. There were some really pretty buttons, pewter buttons from Gemini Fibers, that would probably look really nice on this, but I still just wasn't sure. Of course, later I realized I should have bought, I had intended to buy a new drive band for my spinning wheel at Gemini when I was there. Fuck. So I may be ordering from Gemini anyway, so I may get the buttons. And I mean, my drive band isn't broken. It's just, it came with the wheel, so it's a couple few years old since I got it, and it's unknown length old from before I got the wheel.
Right.
So at the very least, I'm like, I should really get another drive band.
To have.
So I have it. So I don't have to order it at the last minute at some point, or B, so that I have it at the Sheep to Shawl competition just in case.
Because we do know that just in cases do happen.
Like my freaking wheel breaking last year.
Yeah.
Thank God you had wood glue on you. And Michelle had elastic bands.
Yep.
Like tons of elastic bands. Because since you guys had those things, I was able to MacGyver that shit. Other than that, I am working on swappy stuff, but it's swappy stuff, so I can't really discuss it other than it's awesome! And it is something where, again, I am combining patterns to create a thing.
Okay.
With a theme.
Okay.
And so, whoever gets it, they will have a one-of-a-kind, unique thing with this special theme that hopefully they're going to love. I'm trusting they're going to love. But obviously I can't discuss that too much at the moment.
Yep.
I'm going to have to take pictures and just have them on my iPod so that when we finally can reveal all the stuff that we've done for the swap, I can share photos and stuff.
Yep. I've been putting blurry images on my Ravelry page.
Oh, yes. And I am also working at the same time-ish on a thing for my mother. It's the Myrtle scarf.
Ah.
It's actually a convertible scarf. So it's, you know, you knit the scarf and at the end, one end you put buttonholes so that you can button it like a cowl or you can wear it as a scarf. And it's got this pretty leafy pattern and amongst this garter rib. And it's really pretty. I am probably going to have to re-chart the chart because I decided to make it wider. Either that or I can rip it out and just do the width of the chart. Because it's supposed to have three leaves in a row and then like another three above that. But I did four because it's a little wider and I have more yarn. I don't know. I'm deciding what I want to do. But I'm doing it in Carolina homespun Cormo that I got for Mom at Rhinebeck last year.
Okay.
And it's in, I forget what the, I think the colorway is called Sienna. And it's like a brick, burnt umber.
It's like umber, a cinnamon. Yeah.
Cinnamony sort of color. And it's really nice and squishy feeling.
It is.
I will have to find the Carolina homespun booth
this
year and maybe get more for me because it's really pretty. But that one's going a little slower. Mainly because Rhinebeck is sort of like deadline knitting.
Yes, it is.
Also swap. I also still need to decide what the hell I'm doing with the Earth shawl. I still haven't overdyed the yarn. And I did make progress in the sense that I did like rip back to the point where I would either cast off or join in the new color of yarn. I'm kind of leaning towards just casting off. It would probably look better with another repeat of the edging, because, like, the first repeat sort of gets lost a little bit, or maybe, I don't know. I could...
Okay, don't stress this out right now.
I could rip back and put a few rows of garter stitch, a couple more rows of garter stitch. I think I have the yarn to do a couple more rows of garter stitch after the pie increase for the edging. It's just that first edging repeat really kind of gets lost.
Okay.
So you only see the one edging repeat, so I don't know. And then other than that, I'm trying not to cast on a whole bunch of things. Because there's a whole bunch of things I see, and it's like, ooh, that looks really pretty, and now it's getting cooler. And so I really want to be, like, casting on all the things, but it's like, I need to work on this stuff. I have done a little bit of spinning. I want to do some more spinning soon. But really, the only spinning I've done lately is that there was some singles that I had on bobbins for quite a while. So I made another attempt at figuring out how to do cable plying, I think. It's also called Navajo ply. But it's where you're basically plying a single back on itself, so you get a three ply.
Okay.
And it's kind of tricky, and it usually ends up with me, like, cursing and swearing.
I try to avoid those situations, because I usually instigate them at my office.
Of course, it probably didn't help that when I was plying it...
Oh, this is...
I was turning it the wrong way.
Got it.
I wasn't thinking, and I just started doing the clockwise, which is the way I generally spin. I just started sending it clockwise and plying it, and I'm like, why is this? This doesn't really look right. I don't know. It doesn't look like it's plying up very well. I don't know what the deal is, and God damn it! You know, swearing and stuff. And then, like, a couple nights later, literally I was lying in bed. I don't even think I was thinking about spinning that much. And all of a sudden I realized you spun the wrong way when you were plying. You plied it in the wrong direction.
You had a moment of clarity.
Yes. So, like last night and the night before, I spent a while putting that bobbin, the bobbin of the plied stuff, on my lazy Kate and spinning it back the other way. So basically, like, selecting a length of stuff, unplying it, replying it, you know, untwisting it.
Yeah.
Retwisting it the proper way, loading it on the bobbin. Repeat for the
poor stuff is probably dizzy.
Yeah. Luckily, one of them, I only had 3.5 ounces of this stuff. This was the Bats from the Belfry that I got in Kentucky a few years ago. I only had 3.5 ounces of that on here, so it wasn't as bad. And then this other stuff is just, I think it's mostly just Polworth that I've used for, like, sampling. Or, like, trying things.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not very much of it on there. So it wasn't a lot of stuff, thankfully. It's not like it was, like, a sweater amount or something. But yes, learned that lesson to pay more fucking attention when I'm trying to ply. Okay, so, Geek Squee?
Geek Squee!
Okay, so the other main thing we went to...
Holy crap!
...was Fan Expo in Toronto.
I was not prepared.
Yeah, you were super not prepared.
Holy crap!
Especially because we went in on the Friday to Toronto.
Yep.
And we were there on the Saturday. You left Saturday after the con.
Right.
And I stayed another night for Sunday.
Yep.
So you were there on the busiest day, too.
Yep.
And one of the hottest days.
Yep.
Sweet Jesus. Yes. So, what did you think of Fan Expo?
Holy busy, crowded, salmon run, lemming hall. I'm serious. It was like something between migrating turtles, lemmings, and a salmon ladder, but half of them are in costume.
Yes.
And just people. So many people.
Yeah, there were times the con is basically, it's at the Metro Toronto Convention Center in downtown Toronto. It's right near the train station. And there's actually two buildings that it takes place in. They have the North Building, they have the South Building. North Building is actually where I go for the Ontario Library Association Conference. South Building is actually where they have they have a big fair for like all sorts of crafty things like scrapbooking and knitting and crochet and sewing and embroidery and all that sort of stuff, and I cannot remember the name of it.
Oh well.
It's always the same weekend as Rhinebeck weekend, which is why I haven't gone the last couple years.
Oh well, it'll come
to you. God damn it, I'll look it up. So, but they, Fan Expo is in both.
Yeah.
So you have to try and get to, from the North Building to the South, like South Building is where the main expo floor is. There is some, like a whole bunch of vendor booths and stuff, expo in the North Building, but most of them are in the South Building. South Building is where they have all the smaller sort of panels and things like that. North Building is where they have the big ones, because they have the big ballrooms for the main people. North Building is also where they have the autographs and the photo ops and stuff like that. So trying to get from the North Building to the South Building, I think it took us like 25 minutes.
That is madness.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Mainly because you have this, basically at one point you have to go through this, you know, walkway over the railroad tracks going to the train station.
Yep.
Almost right next door.
Windows and of course, on either side.
Like, major bottleneck point.
Windows on each side and
yeah.
Body heat.
And no air conditioning in that segment. It is like a greenhouse.
Yeah.
And body heat from like all the people in there is not helping.
And I pity the people that are wearing vinyl and leather
and fur
latex
and fake fur.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I was sweating buckets.
Anybody in a Chewy costume, I felt really,
yeah,
really sorry for that day.
Yeah, I know our friend Emily, who also went to the Knitters Fair with us.
Yep.
I was dressed up in a fairly even more epic costume. So, like, she was sweating like crazy that day. But yeah, so trying to get around is fun. And of course, there's just people everywhere and trying to maneuver between people. But, like, it was also really fun.
No, it was really fun. And you got the best compliment ever.
Yes! Oh my god. Okay, so I dressed up as Peggy Carter both days.
Yeah.
Because I had been planning to do, like, Phyllis Coulson one day and Peggy Carter the next day. Like, Phyllis Coulson the day that Ming-Na was there, Peggy Carter the day that Haley Atwell was there. But as it got closer to the con and I saw what the temperature was going to be, it's like, I am not doing Coulson. Coulson wears a suit. At least with Peggy, I didn't have the jacket.
Anymore, he doesn't.
Girl!
Keep going.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Anyway, he's still wearing a jacket in all those photos, though, so it'd still be bloody hot. And the glove is probably going to be really hot, too. In more ways than one.
That's what
anyway,
she said.
anyway, whereas with Peggy, I was just wearing a skirt, blouse, and the hat.
I'm just going to tie Coulson onto a sparkly ball and just throw it past your eyes.
Play the wrecking ball.
Ooh, sparkly. He's already done that.
Oh man, there's something I could say right now, but I'm going to restrain myself.
Okay, back to the con.
Wrecking balls, something like that.
Back to the con.
Anyway, but yeah, so basically I was dressed up as Peggy both days. But like I said, with like a skirt that I got from Mod Cloth and one of my white blouses and my Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
And like, I curled up my hair, which I should post pictures of because damn, that was some crazy shit going on in the morning. I pin curled my hair the night before, and wow, my hair when you take it out of pin curls looks pretty funky. So we were walking around.
It was Artist Alley.
We were walking around Artist Alley.
Yeah.
And as we got to the end of one aisle, we were just about to turn to go, because I couldn't turn around and say anything to him afterward either. A guy walked by wearing a Captain America costume. He saluted me and said, "Ma'am." I'm like, "Honey, it is a good thing you just walked by, and I can stop to be like, to say hello, because damn, because marry me."
Yeah, that was fabulous.
I was like, the rest of the weekend, I was like, oh, if I'm quick, now that I know, if someone does let me again, I'll just be like, "Captain." But guys, yes, that was the best.
That is how you give props to a girl in cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. But yeah, so, but I mean, one of the really fun things about it on that day and the other days was just like meeting people. Like when we met up with Glenna in the Ming-Na Wen line.
In the line.
And then someone else comes over dressed up as Hawkeye, and I'm looking like, that costume looks slightly familiar. And we're talking and stuff, and I think she was a friend with the people that Glenna was friends with, so, like, there was, you know, three or four degrees of separation. Until she brought out her little crocheted Coulson doll, yep. And I'm like, oh my god, you're Kate! Person I have been talking to on Twitter for ages now, and who regularly we talk back and forth on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. nights, because we're usually screaming at the TV at the same time. And she's like, oh my god, you're Nitwit! And we're like, oh my god, it's so wonderful to meet you! And then there was another friend of mine from online, who goes by, who's also a member of the SWAP.
Yep.
Red Parrots.
Hi!
Hi, Red Parrots! She was dressed up as Coulson in Kevlar.
Yep.
Which, that was an awesome costume. And she came over, so I finally got to meet her in person. She's also in the obviously she's in the SWAP. She's also a knitter. So yes, I finally got to meet her in person, and like got to talk to all these other to Kate and all these other people that I've known online, and it was awesome.
We had like a little mini knitter circle just going on in the line.
Yeah,
it was great. Now speaking of the Ming-Na line,
yes,
the Ming-Na Q&A panel.
Yes.
It was lots of fun.
Yes, you were practically vibrating in your seat. And we had really good seats.
Yes, we did. We had really good seats.
We were like five rows away from the front center section. Oh my god!
She was bubbly. She was smiling. She was happy. She was sassy.
And considering, like, she tweeted the day before something about, like, she had been up super early to film.
To film.
And then after she was done filming, got the, like, the red-eye flight. Got the flight to Toronto. After that, so she was, like, super tired that day, but she was still, like, funny and sassy and really sweet and just seems wonderful. She's super awesome.
Yeah, she is.
Love this cast so much!
By the way, I got reminded of one of the comments that was made. You remember during the Q&A when she's like, Philinda? What, you guys think that you guys ship the whole Philinda thing? And, you know, there was this applause.
A whole bunch of people were like, woo!
Did you see the
outtakes? Yes.
The elevator scene?
Yes! Oh my god! They're like crawling all over each other.
I lost it.
Yes, that was awesome.
Lost it. Right there. Yes, Philinda does exist.
That's exactly what we're talking about, Ming-Na. The thing that you and Clark Gregg were doing in that elevator.
Yes, that's what people are talking about.
But yeah, I think the panel, someone has actually put it on YouTube.
Oh.
So you can search. And same thing with the Haley Atwell Q&A the next day that I went to.
Oh, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to go to that one.
Because it was marvelous. Haley Atwell is a fucking treasure. She's awesome. But yeah, and we took a nice long cruise through Artist Alley and saw some really cool stuff. You got me a poster.
For a belated birthday present.
Yes. Which I don't have with me right now, so I can't give the artist name.
That's okay. But we'll find it.
I'll do it later. And I got that little pin that says, I know my value
yep.
on it. And I pinned it on myself for the rest of the weekend.
I got a little something-something for my swappy.
Yep, same here. But yeah, it's like, and it was really fun. You know, it was really fun to go to the panels and stuff that I went to. It was really fun to see Ming-Na and Haley Atwell, and Haley Atwell is a gift. But, like, I mean, one of the most fun thing was, like, meeting people and hanging out with people I knew. And, like, the next day, I actually did get my photo taken with Haley Atwell. Because Kate texted me later that night. She's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I have a photo op for Haley Atwell. Do you want to join me? Because, like, I mean, the photo ops are a set price, and you can have up to 4 people. Plus the guest.
Yeah.
So, like, if you get a bunch of friends, then, you know, if the photo op is, like, $75 and you have three friends, then it's $25 for each person. So it was going to be like $20. So I was like, sure, what the hell? For $20, yes. For like the total amount it would have cost, like, no. But for $20, yes. Which is like, yeah, I wouldn't pay more than that because it is literally like 3 seconds. Especially like maybe for some guests which aren't as quite as high demand, you can have a little bit more time to at least say, hi, I really love what you do. But with the other ones, they like, it is like assembly line.
Yeah.
You are in, you are out really fast. But I mean, one of the great things about doing that was, I mean, I was waiting, we were sort of hovering around the, we were hovering the minimum distance around the photo op area that the dude with the bullhorn would let us without yelling at us. It was like, Haley Atwell, people, she's not here yet, back up. You are not lining up yet.
Oh my god.
So I ended up, you know.
If you're not walking, you're blocking.
Yes.
Please keep moving.
Yes, like, you heard that a lot.
They have the hardest jobs during the convention, I swear. Yeah.
So I was there with, like, we sort of gravitated towards these other people, a bunch of other people who were dressed up as Peggy Carter. And so we were talking and laughing. And, of course, some people realized, oh, hey, there's a group of Peggy Carters. We should get a photo. And once one person decides to get a photo, like 20 people decide to get a photo.
So you're in a bunch of people's photos?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And so, like, but it was great, and I was talking to the people in line, and, you know, there were people just behind us in line who we were talking to back and forth, one of which, actually, there was one person, I saw her on the subway, she got off at College Station while I was getting on, and she went by me, and she's like, woo, Peggy! And she was wearing, like, this red dress, and I'm like, you know, thought she looked rather Peggy-ish herself, and then she was right behind us in line at the photo op.
I remember that morning because I'm not a city girl and I don't do the subway that much, so Karen was basically my guide.
Yes.
And, you know, going down that morning, getting on the subway, and I'm thinking, you know, what kind of day this is going to be, and the subway doors open and it's just filled with characters, and I'm like, this is the right car. This is going to the right place.
That was the best part about, like, getting the subway in the morning is, like, as the subway pulls into the station, you can see into the cars, and you see it, like, yep, there's Tony Stark, there's Chewie,
there's Wolverine.
Oh, I see a Fez, there's the 11th Doctor,
there's a Spider-Man.
It was awesome. That and, like, a sea of Blue Jay shirts.
Yes, yeah. There was a lot of Blue Jay happening.
Especially because the Sky Dome is, like, right next to the Metro Center. So, like, the night before, I went to, before picking up Maggie at the train station, because she came in a little later than I did, I went and picked up our wristbands so that we could get in faster the next morning. And, like, I just stood there for a little while on Front Street just watching the tide of people go by, and there were Blue Jay shirts going one way and costumes going the other way. It was fun. But, yeah, and then later that day, when we were in line for the Haley Atwell panel, like, someone went by and she was like, oh, I need all the Peggies down this way. We're doing a photo. So we got, like, there were, like, 15 to 20 Peggy Carters.
That's awesome.
In one hallway. And, like, you know, at one moment we're like, we need a cap. And there was a girl in a cap outfit or costumes. We were like, yes, get in here. And then we spotted, and someone's like, we need a Jarvis. And there was Jarvis and Howard Stark. So we're like, yes, get in the photo.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, if you go on Twitter or Instagram and you search the hashtag Peggy's Army, you will find pictures, the group photo that we took, and including me in the front row.
Squee!
But, yeah, it was so much, and we were just, like, talking and laughing, and it was so much fun meeting these other people who are huge fans. And so the person who recognized me at Kitchener Waterloo Knitters Fair was one of the other Peggies in the Peggy group photo. It was awesome.
Fabulous. Okay.
Yay, fandom is not sucky sometimes.
Oh.
Okay, so yes, other stuff. So you have a new fanish thing, or new thing you are watching.
New thing
that I know has a fandom.
Yes, I know, and it has a very, very devoted fandom. The husband has decided that we are watching The Legend of Korra.
Yes.
And I am going along for the ride.
Like, well, you're watching it, so...
And so it's now become a bit of a family thing because we sort of like screen the episodes and then the little boy watches.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's come in handy because if I have to get my son to go upstairs and quiet himself down before bed, I'm like, okay, it's time for all the airbenders to go upstairs and do their meditation time. Hey, whatever works, dude.
Yeah, if it works, it works.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you, my parents just got Apple TV, and they have been binge-watching Downton Abbey. And they said the next one they're going to try, and she goes, what is it? It's an Agents of... thing, and that's when my husband behind me starts pointing at me. I'm like, yes, Mom, that's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That is my show.
Yes. Oh, yes, and one thing I forgot to mention about the Knitter's Fair. People were about ready to mug you for your t-shirt.
Yeah, we did get a lot of comments on them.
Yeah, there were a few people from our group, of course, are from our Sheep to Shawl team, and so Maggie and some of the others were wearing their Agents of Sheep t-shirts, and got so many people who were like, oh my god, that shirt is awesome!
Dang right!
Damn straight! Watch out for us at the Sheep to Shawl competition, bitches!
Boom! So the parents are going to give the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They said they'll watch an episode or two, and they'll see, and they'll give it a try. And then after that, they're going to move on to House of Cards. And I'm like, you're taking this binge-watching thing seriously if you've already lined up the next two series that you're watching.
Yes. Well, on a side note, I would love to binge-watch season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But the DVDs came out on Friday in the States.
Yes.
On Amazon.
Eh.
Only. Eh. They are not available in Canada yet. I keep checking. Same thing with Agent Carter. It's an Amazon exclusive, and even Amazon fucking CA doesn't have it. Ask me how happy I am about this.
We have a preview of season 3. We have a poster.
Yes, but I am ready to cut a bitch for season 2.
I can't help you with that.
It's like, I would order them in the States, but exchange rate. Also, I have an Amazon.ca gift certificate from my birthday.
Mm.
So it's going to hurt even more if I have to order them from the States. So God damn it, get on that Marvel/ABC.
Think of something happy.
Happy thought. Oh, Coulson promo pictures.
Yeah, so if anybody hasn't seen it, there's a new poster for season 3. Kara needs a cold shower.
Promo pictures, Coulson is not in a suit. I repeat, Coulson is not in a suit. And God damn, does he look fine.
Status is critical. Yes, one of the gloves, one of his hands is black, implying a glove of some kind.
Well, there's one of the cast photo shots, like, where they do individual shots of the cast, where he has his hand up on a wall, and you can see, like, the seams on the glove and stuff. So it's definitely glove covering something. His new robot hand!
And yes, Coulson looks a bit more tough and rugged this season. Not quite the, not quite the businessman.
Girl!
It's a good look for him, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Very.
And I will walk away from that as quickly as I can before
And we get the premiere in a little over a week.
Yes, we do. Sweet.
Cannot wait. Speaking of which, the Dub Smash War is on.
And it's good.
Three videos have been posted so far, and oh my god, it is amazing so far.
It is good.
There is some awesome stuff going on with the Dub Smash
Team
War.
Team Carter has a really creative flair for their guests.
Yeah, you really need to check out the videos, because, oh my god, they're winning so far. Like, the entire thing is winning. I just love it so much.
I gotta admit, Team Carter has some really good guests on their videos.
Yes. So yes, moving into other things. In less awesome news, well, it started out less awesome, and it has, thankfully, become awesome.
Much better, yes.
I'm sure everybody has heard about teen engineering enthusiast Ahmed Mohammed in Irving, Texas, who got arrested and escorted out of his school in handcuffs because he built a clock and brought it to school to show his teacher.
And it was mistaken for a bomb.
Probably not. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that he's Muslim. Oh, no. Yes, I'm sure.
Okay, so this was not great to start with, but...
Yes.
Turning this around...
Thankfully, since then, there has been a whole bunch of outrage on the internet about this. One.
And a whole lot of positive support for him.
Yes.
Including the President of the United States.
Yes.
Including a lot of people at NASA.
Yes. Including... Mohawk guy, Burbank Ferdowski from JPL.
Yep. Inviting him to come over and we'll let you drive.
Yes. Including Matt Zuckerberg, head of Facebook.
Yes. And Mythbusters guys.
Ooh, I didn't see that one.
Yes, they got...
I want to see that.
It doesn't surprise me in the least, but I do want to see it. And I did see, you know, there's a whole bunch of things. He got an invitation to go see, to get a tour of, like, MIT.
Yep.
And I saw a tweet from the NASA Space Camp saying, you know, with support and saying that someone, you know, an anonymous person, had sponsored a scholarship for him to go to space camp.
Snap! Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, yes. Plus he was, just general.
There's a lot of the, specifically the space stuff coming out of this, because he was wearing a NASA t-shirt when he was being arrested.
Yes. For having a hoax bomb, even though he said it was a clock. It's just a clock. And they seemed to accept it was just a clock. But they weren't sure of his, you know, his intention. It's like, to make a clock, because that's a thing you can do if you have the interest and ability to do it. Okay.
Anyways.
But yes, some good things have come from that.
Yes.
I am hoping to see more good things that, like, you know, maybe spread good things to other teenagers, especially other teenagers from minority backgrounds who are interested in STEM fields and stuff like that. But it's awesome that he's gotten the support. And I also saw something where his high school was like, yeah, it's okay. So the suspension that we had doesn't really count anymore. You can come back. And he's like, ah, no. See you fuckers.
Yep.
Except not in those words. He said it much more classily than I just did. This 14-year-old is way more classy than this lady here.
And one of the questions I think Jamie asked him from MythBusters, I can't remember if it was Jamie or... Anyway, the chief of police has asked to meet with you. Are you going to accept the invitation to meet with him? And he said, yes, but not without my lawyer. Like, yes. Dude! Alright, somebody watch this kid and give him a job when he's old enough.
Well, he's already had a bunch of offers, so... A bunch of people like, contact me when you graduate from university.
Now, in further news that is of the thing most awesome.
Yes, this is more awesome straight up. And it has also gotten part of it has gotten a lot of press this week. The part I don't think has gotten a lot of press is that you may have heard that there was a new sort of step in, or a new sort of entry in humanity's ancestry named Homo naledi, I think. Naledi, I'm assuming is how you pronounce
it. Naledi?
Naledi, something like that.
Something like that. We apologize, sorry.
I don't know, Latin is not my thing. But the bit that I didn't know about until the Mary Sue mentioned it, it was an all-female team of scientists who discovered it.
Woot!
Woot!
Females in the science house.
Partly because the passages through the caves to get to where these skeletons were so small, they needed people of smaller stature to go through them. I've seen diagrams of this, and like, oh, sweet Jesus, no. No. Nope. 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 I am feeling claustrophobic just looking at this picture. No, thank you.
That was a huge bag of nope right there.
Yeah. It was, so basically it was the size requirement attached that led to the selection of an all-female team of scientists with both the caving experience and the smaller stature required and the academic background for this.
That's awesome.
For this elite team of scientists. I'm imagining like a you know, A-team montage of like all the scientists and their names and their
except
specialties.
Except maybe it was less blowing up.
No, you'd intersperse like shots of like things going splody just okay. For reasons. With like some like really hard rockin' like
okay.
Score behind it. Yeah. And explosions for reasons, because explosions are cool.
Explosions are cool. We just can't have them explode like the bones in the fossils.
Yes, but you know, you have like explosion behind the font
okay,
of like
that's
the
fine.
Names and
that's
stuff.
That's fine. That's fine.
For coolness. Yeah, apparently National Geographic funded the expedition, but strangely, these women received no pay for their efforts.
Eye roll.
Come on, National Geographic, you can throw them a bit of a bone, at least.
Yes, you can.
Though one of them said, you know, she didn't mind the lack of money, given that the project, quoting from the article here, it afforded her and her colleagues a lot of prestige and satisfaction. She said, some days you couldn't pry us out, really, with a crowbar, which... Some of those spaces look like you would need that, like literally, to get out. But like, as she says, you know, I don't really have words to describe how thrilling it is to have been involved in it. Which, dude, yes, finding a new level on, you know, humanity's evolutionary ladder, a new entry in
that's
our
a
ancestry,
big deal.
That is a big deal.
That is like your name is in history books forever.
That is a huge deal. Yeah. Apparently one of the two passageways was 10 inches high, the other was 8 inches wide.
Okay, that's maybe that.
That looks a little too tall, actually. That looks like it might be a foot. Yeah, that's...
10 inches high.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot of nope right there.
My hips. That is a million percent of nope.
On my belly and wriggling, my hips ain't fitting through that.
Nope. And of course, the first comment on the Mary Sue is some douchebag. Usually they manage to catch people, though they might have left this one just so people could have something to throw tomatoes at. Yeah, getting into that space, you are, as someone else in the comments says, you are a stone-cold badass. So yes, super props to this all-female team. You guys are amazing, and like, super brave for even going in there. Okay, so moving into cravings, covets, and crushes. One of the people who is at the Knitter's Fair is a indie yarn dyer I found out about a couple months ago, called the Georgian Bay Fiber Company.
Mm-hmm.
They're based in Ontario, in Rosso, Ontario, which is sort of in Parry Sound in Ontario. So it's, by our standards, it's fairly far north. By the size of Ontario standards, it's not by any means, but it is fairly far north from like the major population centers. And they have some seriously pretty fibers. All the fibers are named after places sort of around Georgian Bay, including some that are named after places and things in Muskoka where I used to go to the cottage. So, like, there are some colorways I'm like, oh, I want this, partly because it's gorgeous and partly because of the name. Like Bala Cranberry, Windermere Hollyberry, Tiny Balsam, Severn Forest Spruce, Magnetowan Bass, Wasaga Surf, oh, Tobermory Shoreline. There's such, like, a lot of them are very, like, they're very deep, rich colors.
Mm-hmm, I'm seeing that.
It was probably the booth I had the hardest time tearing myself away from, because I really wanted all of it. Especially, there's one of her colorways called Big Sound Squall. It's like a almost black with these little pops of teal and blue.
I'm seeing it, yeah.
And it is gorgeous. It was really hard to put it back. She's got like 12 different bases. There's the Bayfield, but they're in two main sort of families. There's the Bayfield bases, which are untreated blue-faced Leicester. And then there's the McCoy sort of family of bases, which are all Merino. Some of them are blends, like the Bayfield sock is 80% Biffle to 20% nylon. The McCoy sock is 80% Merino, 20% nylon, though most of it is 100% wool fiber. And she has a lace fingering sock, DK, Aran, and comb top in the McCoy, so the Merino. And in Bayfield, she's got a fingering sock, DK, Aran, bulky, and comb top. And basically, if you go on the website, you can shop by the colorway or you can shop by base. So if you select the colorway, you can just scroll down and then select what base you want it on.
I love it when things are arranged in color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go to the shop by base and you select the base, then there will be a nice, lovely little rainbow palette.
Oh my god.
Of colors underneath the picture.
And then I just stare at it and I don't get anything done for about a couple years.
If you click on different bases, okay. Yeah, if you click on the different bases, it looks like so far she's got just the one picture of each colorway. So like if you were looking at the comb top, but you looked at one of the other colors, it'll show you on the yarn, not on the top itself, though. It's the same type of fiber, so it should take up the dye in the same sort of way. And they've got a few different little kits, too. They have color flights, so you can get groups of colors. Basically, they each include half skeins, 8 half skeins of either Bayfield fingering or DK. And there's different sort of theme ones. There's one that's all, like, water, or one that's more like, you know, leaves. There's one. Oh, look at all the fall colors. That's so pretty. I want it.
Rhinebeck.
I know. That's why I didn't buy stuff there.
That's true. And you need to have something to wish for Christmas.
Yes. There's kits for the Winter Doldrums sweater from Nitty. So they have colorways all made up. So yeah, they have gorgeous colors. And like I said, it also doesn't hurt that like some of the places they named things after have like meaning to me.
Yeah, sentimental meaning.
So it's like, oh my god, I want it. Because then I can, like, hold the skeins and think of that place.
Yep.
And, well, either be happy or weep, thinking of how much I wish I was there.
The Creative Festival. Is that what it is?
Creative Festival, that was it. 20 minutes later, finally, I remember. Well, you remember.
Because they're going to be at the Creative Festival.
Okay. Okay, yeah, if you're in the Toronto area and you're not going to Rhinebeck, they're going to be at the Creative Festival in Toronto, October 15th to 17th. They're also carried in a few local yarn stores and sort of mostly like Owen Sound, North Bay, Coldwater, Aurelia,
that sort of area, Bracebridge, but also Port Credit, Port Elgin, London, Ontario. If you're in those sort of areas, they might be carried at your local store. If not, oh, feel free to browse their website and all the prettiness. So the other day I was looking through sweater patterns, and I found this one called A Little Knit Music by Julia Blake. It is a round, a circular yoke sweater where the patterning around the yoke makes the five bars of a musical staff. And there's a little cable, it looks like a cabled, a twisted stitch cabled treble clef that you do sort of near the left shoulder. And then you put beads in for musical notes.
It's adorable.
Which is amazing and so cool, and I want one. And the really fun thing with this is, you know, if you know music or if you can find sheet music for something, you could put whatever tune you want.
Yep.
Like, suddenly I had the idea of having, like the Doctor Who theme.
You could also put another staff, actually, down at the bottom hem and do a bass.
Do the bass line, too, yes. Ooh, oh my god, I just thought of a thing.
Oh dear.
There is music that has a very big part in the end of Battlestar Galactica, the last season or two. And Bear McCreary actually uses, and it at one point it's partly because the pattern it makes on a staff, the dots that it makes on the staff, is like a code, basically. And Bear McCreary uses that on his webpage. That's his little logo. So I'm like, oh my god, you could totally do that on the sweater! There's like, it would be, you would have to be like super like Battlestar Galactica nerd and like know that pattern to recognize it on someone else's sweater. But that would be awesome.
Walking around wearing a coded sweater that only certain people would recognize and know.
Yes.
And only those people, I know that code! You are one of my people.
Yes, you are one of my tribe. Either that or you're a Cylon. So anyway.
Oh dear.
But yeah, and then it even goes across the back, too, of the sweater. Here's the back. And it's really cool. I mean, it's a fair, and it's a very subtle sort of patterning. Like, other than, you know, just the five, you know, it looks like garter stitch ridges, or five, you know, five pearl ridges making up, you know, the bars of the staff. It's a fairly, you know, understated, subtle sort of pattern. And it looks like a really nice, nicely fitting sweater, too. So yeah, you can find it on Ravelry. That's A Little Knit Music by Julia Blake. And pattern $6.50 US, so definitely reasonable. Oh, and there's a child size version too. And the bust sizes go pretty high too, which is really nice. Yeah, and it's knit seamless. Not surprising, it's a, you know, most circular yoke sweaters really are. The pattern that comes with the sweater is Eine Kleine Nachtmusik, A Little Night Music by Mozart.
Okay.
Not surprisingly. But yeah, like I said, like you could totally do your own.
Yes,
chart out your own.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. At the moment, there's a sale. It looks like if you purchase both the adult and child music sweaters, you can get them both for $10. That would be a really cute kid sweater too. Yeah, because the child version is an actual separate pattern. Yeah, it's called A Little Knit Music for Children, which would be really cute for, like, you know, your budding
musician.
Budding musician. You know, if your kid is like plays an instrument or is in their school choir or something like that, that'd be really cute. And it's done in worsted too. So, it would knit up pretty fast. I love it. I love it so much. Okay,
I think we've talked enough.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Possibly by the next time you hear from us, we may have seen all the new episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we'll probably be freaking out over
that. We will probably have been seeing it by the time we record the next time. Oh, though we should mention, too, just depending on when we record next time. Little reminder, we are taking the train to Rhinebeck.
Yep.
So, if you're taking the train, it's the Empire service on the Friday. We're leaving ours leave Buffalo at like 7:30 in the morning. So if you're going to be on that train, say hello! We'll be with the other people who are getting off at Rhinecliff, so.
And we'll be knitting.
And I know last year there was a knitter. There was a listener on the train.
Cool.
So I'm hoping to see you again! Hopefully you can go. But yeah, if you're going on that train, if you're planning to be on that train, let us know. We have like party in the train car. Woo, 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 woo.
All right, everybody. Good night. Talk to you later.
Oh, and actually one more thing. I'll edit in. Oh, and one other thing is Knit1Geek2, as well as myself, now has a Periscope account. We did a little video at the hotel. I don't think it's available anymore because Periscope really only has stuff available for like 24 hours, I think. But if you are on Periscope, keep an eye out for us. There will probably be other videos. You know, we might randomly decide to do something, you know, do one at knit night. Just be like, hey, this is what we're knitting. Or I might randomly do stuff, which I'll probably do through the podcast account and then just, you know, retweet over to my side. But if you want to find us on Periscope, it's the same as our Twitter, at Knit1Geek2. And I'm also at Knitwit1912, if you want to find me on there. And I'm finding a whole bunch of really cool knitter people on there. So, and I think we'll be Periscoping probably from Rhinebeck.
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't be able to do it from the train because it's my thing that has Periscope on it is my iPod Touch, so it doesn't have data. It has Wi-Fi. And the Wi-Fi on the train isn't... They intentionally meter it so that people can't watch videos and slow down the Wi-Fi for everybody else on the train.
Okay.
So we wouldn't be able to broadcast from the train, but definitely, like, when we're at the house that evening or, like, in the hotel the night before or whatever, we could be Periscoping, and we'll hopefully be recording stuff here and there, too.
Okay.
We can record on the train. So if you're on the train, you might also end up on an episode. So yes, we will talk to you soon. Yay, fall! Yay!
Yay, sweater season.
Yay! Okay, bye!
Thanks for listening. You can find old episodes or comment at our blog at knit1geek2.emptypockets.org. That's knit1geek2.mt-pockets.org. You can find us on Twitter and on Periscope at Knit1Geek2. You can also discuss the episodes and other geeky things at our Ravelry group. Just search for Knit1Geek2 in the Groups tab. You can also email us at knit1geek2@gmail.com. And remember, in space, no one can hear you squee.